That was a great question. You know, I don't know how much, I guess health, it is a health related question.
It
you
is,
know?
It so. Is. Well, actually, Pam had a second part to one of her questions.
Oh, good.
She said, how much protein should you really be having?
Okay.
She said, a friend wonders how much she needs for a sedentary lifestyle.
Okay, that's a little bit more kind of fitness and nutrition that we like
yeah,
to talk
is our,
about.
This is up our alley right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, a little bit more.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. This episode comes from the earlier version of the podcast, known as the ETT Rap Show. Enjoy!
Welcome back to the ETT Rap Show. I'm here once again with my buddy Tyler Knox. What's going on, man?
What up, Dizzle? How you doing?
Oh, not much. Actually, just got back from a nice run with my lady. We were running.
Where'd you go?
We went to the Tampa River Walk, which is right along the Hillsborough River in downtown Tampa.
It's just so beautiful there.
It's really nice. Like, honestly, I know you're trying to be silly, but it is.
No, it really is.
It is really nice because they're putting a lot of work and a lot of money into making it a continuous, like, running river walk, which is great. Well, I mean, you can do more than run on it, obviously, but we did about over 4 miles this morning, and it's great. Like I said, there's plenty to do down there. We actually ran by two dog parks, so we always, and I think Shannon's down there right now with our dog, which is nice. It's nice and quiet in here. But yeah, it's awesome. It's a great place to go. So if anybody ever is visiting or who lives in Tampa, I highly suggest giving that going checking that out and exercising or doing whatever you want on there.
Did you wear a heart rate monitor?
I didn't. Shannon ran. She used her Runkeeper app. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it kind of tracks your distance and your time, and then also can give you cues on kind of like what your pace is. I used to use it when I was doing my marathon training, which is really, it was really beneficial because it could tell you like kind of what your pace was. So if you had a goal, like you said, you wanted to do under 2 hour or a half marathon or under 4 hour marathon, it would help you know like kind of where what your pace is at certain times of the race. So
gotcha.
And it's a free app. So I highly recommend it for anybody who wants to use that or is into running.
Yeah, say it one more time.
Runkeeper.
Runkeeper.
Yep.
All right.
So
do you think that's just for Apple, or do you think we could go Android with that bad boy?
I'm sure if you went to the App Store, they have something. If they don't have the Runkeeper, I'm sure Runkeeper, it's pretty popular, so I'm sure they have it for Android also. So
cool.
It's pretty cool. Like I said, I don't know. You might be able to buy one that also, I don't know if you have one that will have a heart rate app or heart rate option, but I don't know. It's good. It's because it uses GPS too, so it tracks. Like I have a little map of where we ran and everything. So it's pretty cool. So
yeah.
I highly recommend. What are you checking it out right now? Are you looking to see if you can get it?
Yeah, and you can on Android, so that's cool.
Boom. What about you? Did you do anything this week? Huh? I know you were doing a lot of diving for work.
But yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I've been diving. I actually dove on Thursday as well this week, which is a little bit unusual. But, when I go out there, it's at least an hour while I'm under there on a hookah rig. So it's feeding me oxygen at actually a really low rate. So I'm doing like almost an anoxic dive while I'm like, it almost turns anaerobic at some points.
Wow. Well, don't be holding your breath down there.
No, I'm not holding my breath. It's just if I, like when I'm down there, I'm supposed to be kind of like washing away some dirt that gathers on these huge nets.
Yeah.
And it's actually taxing. Like it takes a while.
Well, yeah, it's physical. You're underwater and you're doing physical activity. Why don't you describe what you do? Like, cause some people may have no reference about what you actually do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I work at a, shellfish hatchery in Terracea. And we grow clams from, birth all the way up to about 4 millimeters. And when they reach a certain size, you need more space for them. So you put them out in the bay on leases, and you have to take care of them still out there because they're in these nets and tons of sediment lands on top of them. And you have to go and kind of make sure that they're staying clean.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go out to do that, it's actually a fair amount of work. And, yeah, kind of tiring.
How deep is it you normally, go?
Yeah, these leases are only, depending on the tide, 7 to 9 feet. So
okay.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, like I said, going under there, that's interesting that the you said it's such a low rate of oxygen. That's
yeah. Totally fine if you're just swimming casually.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to bust this out quickly, because right. there's like, you know, 40 some nets out there that are like 10 by 10. When you're out there doing that, it's just like, yeah, you're not getting enough oxygen after a while. You have to slow down, catch your breath. And then not to even mention, I forgot to mention, like the tide's going to go in or out. And sometimes the tides are insane. Like you have to hold on or else it'll push you away from the nets that you're near.
Wow. Yeah, that does sound like workout. You got to listen to some podcasts with Wim Hof. Have you heard of him?
Yeah. I love Wim Hof.
Yeah, you got to start practicing his breathing techniques. Really build up your lung capacity.
Yeah, maybe once I do that, I can dive under some Antarctic sea ice.
Yeah, there you go. Also, ETT training this week. We really had some interesting training this week. We started off the week. My guys, actually friends of yours, also the coworkers from our old job. We usually work out of this park in Pinellas County, Florida, and unfortunately we ran into a afternoon thunderstorm, so we had to kind of adjust our workout. But luckily, the place we had was undercover. We had some covered areas, so we still got the workout done without, you know, getting struck by lightning, because it was getting pretty crucial there for a little while. But, yeah, it was good. So we got those guys in, and then also had a client come back from kind of the injured reserve. He is one of the guys I actually trained jiu-jitsu with. He's been injured. I think he actually had a fractured tibia.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and I mean, I don't think it was fractured very, I think probably like a micro fracture or something like that, but he's been recovering for probably like the last 6 weeks or so. So he came back finally this week, so he got a good session in, so glad to have him back. And also had another, actually my original personal training client, my very first personal training client, contacted me this week. And he wants to get back to training with me.
That's awesome.
Which was, you know, it was kind of perfect timing, because I had one of my clients who's going twice a week said he had to pull it back to once a week because of work obligations. And so I had I have a session open up or a time available for him. But it's interesting because he wants to do in-person training once a week, and then also is interested in having like two take-home workouts per week.
That's really cool. I didn't even know that was an option for like you to supply that. So that's talk about that a little bit.
It's interesting because when I first started, when I first got my certification and I first started trying to, you know, build workouts, I didn't have any equipment or anything, so I couldn't really, you know, train anybody. I didn't have any equipment or anything. So what I would do, I had a couple guys that had gym memberships to local gyms around here. And I would build workouts for them and send them to them on a week-to-week basis.
Okay.
So basically, I kind of had this – that kind of how I started the whole thing. Besides the group workouts, the free group workouts that we did, that was all bodyweight stuff, I would send these guys weekly workouts, and I would fill it with exercises, and each exercise was a hyperlink to basically a how-to video on how to do the exercise.
Oh, that's cool.
So because like I said, I would find a video, I would do the research, find a video on the exercise that I thought was, you know, the best type of, showed the best form and basically the best type of video. Because, you know, people can video themselves doing a squat and it's poor quality and they don't explain what they're doing. Yeah. So, you know, this is I find high quality videos. Usually I use a lot of the same type of, there's some good channels out there that have to, that explain exercises very well. So I would just send that to them on a week-to-week basis.
Nice.
So that's what I'm looking to do with this guy, and it's interesting. And like I said, I'm looking forward to it, because plus he's my original. He started the whole, you know, ETT individual personal training off. So I'm looking to have him back, and he's looking to be, you know, have me help hold him more accountable. So kind of also be more of an accountability coach too, which I'm also looking to try to be more. Build more experience or gather more experience in, because I want to offer that to clients too in the future. So,
yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's definitely it's like a different mindset if you're going to go into that, because one, when you're coming, I know that I have to really step my game up and make sure I'm performing, because you're going to be able to tell that I'm not pushing it. But then if you were giving me a workout and I was on my own, you'd have to have some self-control to really, really try hard.
Yeah.
And then talk with, I guess, do you talk with them after the workout?
Yeah. I plan on, you know, doing a follow-up before and after and everything, and trying to get progress reports about how their workout went, what they liked, what they didn't like, and that will help me build them future workouts and also keep them more accountable, knowing that I'm going to be following up, you know, that I'm going to want basically kind of a post-workout synopsis of what they thought and how they did. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking up on them. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah, it's something I want to, you know, probably start incorporating even more, you know, when I start trying to transition to the full-time fitness, making fitness my full-time occupation. So,
yeah, you're not going to have enough time to visit everyone. So
yeah, that's very true. It's good training for me. So
take-home workouts are a must.
Yeah, so, and I like it too, because there's so much good information out there, and it helps them, like, once a week is tough to really get in that lifestyle of, you know, being dedicated to fitness. So if they can get it at least, you know, probably 3 times a week, it helps you get in more into that mindset that I got to make fitness a priority. So
it
was a good week this week in training, and looking forward to another good week. I mean, April's going to be crazy for me. Got a lot of stuff going on. Got one wedding to go to next week. Got my own wedding at the end of the month.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, between work and between ETT, it's going to be a busy-ass month.
If you're like Nick and I, then you love a good cup of coffee. It's one of the reasons we are so excited that our sponsors, Hemp Coffee Exchange, are offering our listeners a really nice little treat. Right now, you can head over to their website, hempcoffeeexchange.com, and save 20% off your order. Just use the code ATF at checkout to get your 20% off. We really love this product, not just because it tastes delicious, but because it boasts the health benefits of hemp. So head on over to their website and check out Hemp Coffee Exchange now. And don't forget to use that 20% off promo code ATF.
Another cool thing that's actually that this month is busy with is UFC. I know we talk about UFC on this on the podcast because I'm a huge fan. And they got a big month coming up. They got a lot of events this month, and some big news happened this week. I don't know if anybody's familiar. If you pay attention to MMA or even women's MMA, Chris Cyborg is a name you should know. She's a Brazilian fighter, and she's kind of been synonymous with Ronda Rousey. And they've always been they talk a lot of trash back and forth, you know. Cyborg says Ronda's scared to fight her, and Ronda says that she doesn't want to fight anybody that's taking steroids or won't fight anybody.
But so, also, isn't Cyborg like 170 pounds?
She might walk around up there, probably not that heavy, but she competes at 145.
Okay, and Ronda's at 135?
She competes at 135. Now, Cyborg competed in a promotion called Invicta. And she was obviously the 145-pound champion, but this week she just signed her first fight in the UFC, to have her first fight in the UFC. And it's going to be at 140 against, okay, I think, a competitor named Leslie Smith.
So do you think Ronda would meet up with her at 140? They would kind of say, let's meet in the middle?
Maybe.
If they ever try to fight each other, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, if they can put it together, if they can put the catch weight together, I think, because, like, obviously Ronda, she cuts weight to get to 135, but that's where she thinks she fights the best at. But I'm sure 140 is tough. Well, like, and it's going to be tough for Cyborg, because she has, I don't know if she's ever competed at 140. So it's going to be tough for her. She's just naturally bigger. And it's true. I mean, in the past, she was, I think, only at one occasion she was busted for, I don't want to, you know.
Maybe some HGH or something.
Definitely PED. PEDs for sure, performance-enhancing drugs. I'm not sure which type, if it was steroids or, you know, like you said, HGH. I don't know which one it was, but she has been busted in the past, but it was only one occasion. So, but she is just naturally, you know, she's, if you've ever seen a picture of her, Chris Cyborg, she just is a strong, I mean, she is powerful, is a good way to
yeah, she's a beast.
Yeah. So, and like she, you can tell her she's got skills. And she really manhandles a lot of her opponents. So I think that'd be interesting, that fight. I can't remember what it's scheduled for. Maybe UFC 200, which is supposed to be their premier event coming up in the next couple months. But I'm not quite sure. I know this month they have a big event, they still have a big event. It was supposed to be, I think, with a lightweight title, John Jones's return fight. Yeah. Tyler just showed me a picture of Chris Cyborg.
And, she is so beastly.
Yeah, she's very, very cut, and she is a scary-looking individual. Scary as in I wouldn't want to fight her. Not scary.
No, definitely
as in,
not.
Yeah, not scary as to insult her. No. So, but like I said, the John Jones was supposed to fight Daniel Cormier this month for the John Jones's return fight after he lost the he got stripped of the lightweight title. Because of his, I would say,
was
criminal.
Was that cocaine?
Well, no, he didn't lose it because of that. He lost it because he had a hit and run.
UFC doesn't test for drugs like that, like when they're not fighting, right?
Yeah, well, the thing was, it's not a PED. They don't consider cocaine a PED. So he didn't get suspended for that. He got suspended because he was under criminal investigation for a hit and run and leaving the scene of an accident. So.
Gotcha.
Which he, you know, obviously didn't do any jail time for, but he was supposed to be fighting Daniel Cormier this month for the lightweight title, basically, because Daniel Cormier won the interim title, or I guess the vacated title, he won it. So, but this week just came out that Daniel Cormier hurt himself and won't be fighting. So,
interesting.
And it's interesting. Well, I mean, it's interesting because those two really... it seems they have a lot of bad blood. If you've seen some of the pre-fight interviews between the two, you can tell that they really don't like each other. And I mean, that's kind of John Jones's. I don't think John Jones is like the fan-friendly fighter. You know, even though he's probably the best fighter maybe that was ever in the UFC. You
wow.
know, he's not a fan. He's probably not fan-friendly. You know, but. You know, for fighters to be fan friendly, it's kind of it's tough because you know, you got to have a certain demeanor and a certain approach if you want to get in and beat other dudes face in. So
yeah, you're gonna get a certain type of guy.
Yeah, being Mr. Nice Guy is not a requirement for fighters. So
not at all.
But yeah, and also this month, the UFC is actually coming to Tampa, which is a huge thing. I think I don't know if it's their first time at Amalie Arena here in Tampa is kind of the premier downtown arena for sports, and the Tampa Bay Lightning play there. They have a lot of concerts there, so it's really a premier event space. So I know the UFC has been at like other smaller places around town in Tampa. But this one's kind of a huge event, and it's got some good fighters on the card. The main event is Tony Ferguson versus, let me see if I can pronounce this, Khabib Nurmagomedov is the guy's name.
All right.
So, yeah, he's a undefeated Russian fighter who actually he's been scheduled to fight like 3 or 4 times and has gotten hurt every time. So he's hopefully there's only about 2 more weeks to the fight. And hopefully he'll make it to that. That's the main event. Tony Ferguson's a good guy. He's a good fighter. And he's coming off of, I think, like a 7-fight win streak or something like that. So these two guys.
He's got the confidence right now.
Yeah. So like I said, Khabib's going to be interesting to see how Khabib does after being off for so long. But he's undefeated for a reason. He's just, he's from Dagestan. And he's got world sambo champion and just. I mean, he just ragdolls people. I mean, there's like his previous fights, nobody can stop him from him picking them up and throwing them on their face or throwing them on their head. So he's it'd be interesting to see where he's at now after being out of the game for so long. So that's it. There's a lot of other good fights on that card. So I was hoping maybe to go to that, but as it gets closer, I don't know. It's with the amount of stuff I got going on this month, I don't know if going to see the UFC is going to be possible. But, of course, I could watch it on TV, which is the glory of, you know, sports now. You know, you don't have to go to the game to watch it. So
that's true. It's a pay-per-view, though?
No, UFC. UFC Tampa, I think it's going to be on Fox. I believe it's going to be a Fox card, I believe. So it's going to be on free TV.
You'll get a better view at home anyway.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it's just one of those things I would love to go in person at least one time. So we'll see. Yeah. It's still a few weeks away, so I might be able to do it or not. Yeah, so we got some real good fan questions, kind of.
Yeah. Man, they were perfect questions too.
Yeah, like I said, we put the call out this week to get some to get some questions or comments for this coming podcast, for this podcast, and we got some responses, some good questions. First off, I want to talk about.
Can I ask the question to you and you answer it?
Yes, I want to get to the Instagram questions, but I want to talk about that post you shared with me.
Okay. Yeah. So, one of the girl that asked a question this week, I actually saw her post this. It was an article about quad length, so your quadriceps or your femur length, pretty much.
Femur bone. Gotcha.
Yeah, your femur bone, which for people that don't know, it's pretty much the bone from your hip all the way down to your knee. Yeah. It's the biggest, longest bone in your body.
Mm-hmm.
They correlated femur length with squat technique. The longer the femur, the harder it was to have, you know, your typical pristine squat form. And for those of you that don't know, when you squat, you're supposed to go down like you're sitting in a chair while keeping your back upright and your chest up. And then your butt's actually supposed to go a little bit below 90 degrees, almost like you're kind of sticking your butt into, I don't know, you're like scooping your butt down a little bit below your knees, below 90, and then back up.
Yeah.
And the weight is supposed to stay kind of just perfectly up and down to the ground. I don't know, is that what, perpendicular to the ground?
Yeah, like you said, when they call it breaking parallel, so like when your thigh bone or your femur is parallel to the ground,
mm-hmm.
That's basically your parallel. But if you break parallel and your butt goes lower, that's what you're talking about. That's not necessarily scooping, but like that's when you're breaking parallel, because some people can do that and some people can't, like you were talking about with the different body types.
Yeah. So the guy that was, there's actually a really cool video that really explains it and visualizes it for you. But they correlated tibia length, which is the bone that goes from your ankle to your knee, quadriceps length, and or I guess femur length, and also your torso length. So if you combine a short tibia with a longer femur with a shorter torso, it's just physiologically. Wow.
Okay. There you go.
Wow. It's physiologically impossible to have that perfect form, just because the fulcrum at your knee doesn't quite work well with how long your they call it a moment. It's like the pivot point.
Right.
It just doesn't work. But then he shows that, you know, if you have a kind of proportionate tibia to femur to torso, then you pretty much don't really even have to try with a squat. It's just easy. And I watched this and I was like, well, first of all, I don't have strong legs, so that's not my excuse. My excuse is, I mean, I'm not that strong. But when I saw this, I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes me happy, because I have huge femurs.
Yeah, you have a long femur for sure.
Like insanely long. It's at least 2 feet. I'm all legs. I'm all chicken legs. But yeah, it makes sense. When I try to squat, I just can't really get to that position without my back falling forward. And watching this video, it shows like, yeah, that's because you have a huge femur. So they give a little bit of, they give a couple ways to really fix that form, you know, widen up the stance a little bit. They talk about maybe don't wear flat shoes or barefoot. You want to have like a small heel on there.
Elevate your heel.
elevate the heel. Yeah. And they're saying don't elevate it so much, but like, I think he said like 3/8 of an inch or 1/4 of an inch.
Yeah, he was talking about, he gave an example of like basically like running shoes that have a lot of cushion in the sole, and then compare it to Chuck Taylors, which are basically flat soled.
Yeah.
Which a lot of weightlifters, they talk about their preferred is the Chuck Taylors.
They do flat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't know if it's because of that reason, but I think it's more to have a connection to the ground. Some weightlifters do it barefoot too.
Well,
they like to have more of a connection to the ground too. So
yeah, but I definitely urge people, maybe we can link that up somewhere. We can tweet it out, but there's a really cool article and the videos make it perfectly understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the good thing about that is that it shows you that, you know, I'm probably guilty of it. I like to tell people to keep their eyes at a certain kind of plane,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like looking down at the ground or looking up can change your back alignment. So,
yeah.
But like I said, it's the where people are able to squat to, kind of like wherever their seat is, you know, the bottom of their squat. I think it all depends on, obviously it depends on their flexibility.
Yep.
And it also obviously, like you just mentioned, depends on their body, basically their body shape and type.
True.
So,
and I didn't even say it, but they talk about the flexibility of the ankle being a major factor.
Yeah.
But they're even saying, even if you are the most flexible, your ankle is perfectly flexible. If you have that, you know, small tibia, longer femur, then you're not going to have perfect form.
Yeah.
It's perfect typical form.
Right.
So your trainer has to kind of realize that and kind of work around that,
right.
And still kind of with your body type,
yeah.
Make sure you have the best form that you can.
Yeah. Like I said, even if you're not doing the atypical type of squat form, you're still working your legs. You're just working different type of muscle groups. Like with the toes pointed forward and your knees stay over your toes and they don't bow out at the side. Like as you go down, they don't bow out.
Yeah.
You know, that you're working more kind of the glute and everything up into the back of the hamstring. But if you have a wider stance and you point your toes out at an angle and you squat, and your knees go outside your toe a little bit,
yeah.
you're probably working more of the inside, kind of your adductors inside and the top of the quad too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, it's not that I don't think there's any wrong. I think it's just you're doing a different exercise, essentially. So,
yeah, I mean, just to build on top of that, I would say the only way that you're doing it wrong is if you're in a lot of pain. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you're just destroying your knee because your form's terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
or your back. Your back's one of the main things.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's different things. There's different things to make sure you're doing, but there's, like I said, you can perform a squat a variety of ways without it being wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a good thing. That's a good post. And yeah, we'll probably share it on our page this week or, Instagram or a Facebook page, the ETT Tampa, ET Tampa.
Yeah. So that was from, my cousin's girlfriend, Pam. So thanks a lot to Pam. But on top of that, Pam asked two good questions.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Nick, when people fart, do they release poop particles into the air?
I believe yes. I'm going to say yes. It's air trapped in your lower intestines or colon, depending on, you know, obviously whatever the exit is. I can't remember if it's lower intestine or colon. But the air trapped in there is obviously going to have some particles attached to it. Luckily, hopefully, most of the people, when they do it, they have clothes on, hopefully.
Most of the time, yes.
So, yeah, necessarily, I mean, you would think those clothes, they could trap most of the particles or, you know, the bacteria that containing particles that contain maybe some amount of feces.
Yeah.
But,
so,
you know,
Nick, I heard there was a study done in England in 2001. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. The British Medical Journal, they did the study, and they had their study participants fart into two Petri dishes. And Petri dishes are used in the laboratory to kind of – they use them to grow different type of microscopic organism, bacteria, they're filled with like this little kind of, I don't know the exact old mixture, but it's kind of like food to stimulate the growth of microorganisms.
Yeah, it's like an agar that has nutrients in it pretty much.
Exactly. It just basically stimulates growth of any type of microorganism that they try to implant into the Petri dish. So obviously on this study, they were trying to see what type of bacteria is contained in farts.
Yeah.
So they did one study. They had somebody do it with clothes on, fart into a Petri dish, and then with some clothes off. Yeah, this is an actual study. So, or according to what I found, is an actual study. So it could be, you know, I didn't Snopes it or not, but they found that the ones that obviously, it seems pretty obvious, people that did it with pants off, they found bacteria in the Petri dish and next day that contained fecal matter. And pants off, no fecal matter. So,
Wait, sorry. Pants off, fecal matter.
Yes.
All on the plate.
Yeah.
And then pants on, no fecal matter.
No fecal matter, yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that as long as I keep my pants on when I'm farting, I'm not spraying poop at you.
Gotcha, yes. So, thank you. That was a great question. You know, I don't know about how much... I guess health. It is a health-related question.
It is. Well, actually, Pam had a second part to one of her questions.
Oh, good.
She said, how much protein should you really be having?
Okay.
She said, a friend wonders how much she needs for a sedentary lifestyle.
Okay, that's a little bit more kind of fitness and nutrition that
about. This is up our alley right
now. Yeah, a little bit more. It's a lot of debate about this. It always depends. It's dependent on gender, age, activity level, and kind of your fitness goals, which how much you should have. There's some general rules of thumb. I know when I was doing my NASM certification, I saw a range of 0.5 grams to 1 grams per pound of body weight.
Just for example, if we're going by 1 gram of protein per body weight and we're doing 170-pound male, that's 170 grams of protein per day?
Yes. Now,
okay.
And that range was dependent on kind of like obviously the lower end is maintaining, you know, your muscle mass and at providing protein to the necessary bodily functions that you need to live, basically.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to you want to add muscle mass, okay?
Gotcha.
Or you want to kind of basically, you know, maximize whatever functions the protein provides your body. I've also followed up and they have a lower number. A different source gives a lower number. They said, I think it's from the USDA, their recommended daily allowance is 0.36 grams of protein per pound of body weight.
Okay.
So basically,
that's pretty low.
Yeah, if you take your body weight and just basically multiply it by a third or divide it into a third, you get your kind of what they recommend the daily, and that only accounts for about I think it's for like about 10 to 15% of your caloric intake for the day, which is pretty low because you know you think about the RDA for carbohydrates in the USDA recommends is like upwards of 45 to 55% of your calories should be from carbs. And then you have fat and then protein. So I think, like I said, you said 0.36 grams per pound of body weight is pretty low. I've heard it all the way recommended up to 1.5 grams if you're really trying to add muscle mass, you know, which is you know, really specific to kind of like hypertrophy training, which is when you you're putting on muscle. But like I said, if you can do anywhere, I mean, general sedentary lifestyle, anywhere from, you know, 0.36 grams with the recommended all the way up to, you know,
.6-ish.
Yeah.
If you're not doing much work.
Right. And like I said, it always depends on your fitness goals, your activity level, gender, age. And obviously, it's more important as you get older because, you know, your bones and your muscles, they usually, as you get older, you lose the muscle mass, you lose bone density. So it's important to keep that intake up or even increase it when you get older.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have one more question that kind of goes into protein.
Right. So. And so, like, if anybody wants to know per grams per day, one of these For that range we gave, 0.36 to 0.6 grams per pound. A general rule of thumb for males, 56 to 91 grams per day for a male, and then 46 to 75 grams per day for the average female. So, like I said, all dependent on your specific physical factors, but that's kind of a range you could probably put you in for that 0.36 to 0.6 grams per day, or okay, per pound of body weight per day.
Nice, and we have one more question.
All right.
So this is from Senator Travers on Instagram. This is my brother-in-law.
Okay.
He wants to know, what's the best way to get, like, super swole? Like, freak show swole? I think it's perfect to go right into that question because we talked about hypertrophy and eating a lot of protein. So what do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I think obviously nutrition's a big thing. So you've got to obviously bump up your calorie because you're going to be burning a lot of calories since you're going to do a lot of weight training. But we'll focus specifically on the weight training aspect, not so much the nutrition aspect. You got to overload your muscles in order to make them grow. That's kind of what the word hypertrophy means. You're stimulating your accelerated growth of your muscle.
Okay.
So in order to do that, you have to overload them. And you have to be able to overload them over time. So a good kind of – you want to do high intensity and low volume. So you don't have to necessarily do a tremendous amount of repetitions, but you have to increase your weight over time. So like an 8-week program, I looked it up, like a sample 8-week program for trying to add muscle mass is basically you start first 2 weeks, you do it 15 reps. And you find kind of your what you can do, how many the maximum you can do 15 reps, and then you every 2 weeks you increase the weight and then decrease the number of reps.
Okay.
So until you're up to about you're in the fourth set of weeks, which is be the 8 week, the week 7 and 8 of your program, you're almost to your one max rep. 5 reps is the goal, but you can do less than 5 reps. You want to try to – you're focusing on the most amount of weight you can do, basically.
Okay.
And then you try to – you kind of go back into that 8-week program. You start at the bottom and then build it back up again. So you,
oh, it's like a cycle.
Yeah, it cycles, exactly. So you're trying to basically you're forcing your muscles to grow, essentially, by putting them an excess load on them.
Yeah, and so – I'm not a beastly guy, and I've gone to the gym, and I've seen really beastly guys, and I actually had a free training session a while ago at a gym I joined up for, like, literally 2 months. The guy was a weightlifter, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm in competitions, you know, for bodybuilding. I was like, oh, cool, man. I'm like, how often do you work out? He's like, well, I mean, normally I do about 2 hours in the morning. You know, I'll work, I'll take some time off, and then I'll do about 2 or 3 hours at night.
Yeah.
I'm just like, holy crap, these guys are just destroying their muscles every day. Then they're rebuilding them with, I guess you have to eat a fair amount of protein.
Yeah. The program I looked at, they were doing basically 3 days a week. But the program I looked at, like I said, they were doing every muscle group.
Yeah, so you're not just doing bench.
Yeah, so like I said, you could do 2 a day, but that you have to maybe split your maximum amount of load you use, or you could split the exercises between morning and evening.
Yeah, like this guy was saying he would specifically work on tiny muscle groups. Like, you know, you think about a squat, you're doing multiple things. It's mainly legs, but, you know, you're working your back,
it's a compound movement.
Exactly. But this guy is saying, like, you just target your, like, for example, your triceps only for, like, those full 2 hours. It's like, holy crap, you're doing 2 hours of triceps today?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, the main thing with making more muscle is overloading the muscles and forcing them to grow, basically.
Yeah.
So you're increasing weight over time. And decreasing the amount of volume, so the amount of reps you're doing, but increasing the weight. And and important to kind of, in order to prevent injury, and he was talking about you doing every 3 days a week and then taking breaks in between And but like I said, the nutrition is a whole other thing that I don't think we have time to get into. But you can imagine you got your protein intake has to be a little bit higher than the normal kind of a sedentary adult that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, maybe up at that 1.5 grams per body weight.
Yeah.
Maybe even more.
Yeah. So like I said, that's a whole nother topic I think we can save for next podcast. But hey, we got some questions, some really good questions.
And that makes me happy. Thanks to Pat and Pam.
Yeah, thanks to them. And hopefully you guys, that'll inspire some people to give us some more questions. We'll keep putting it out there, you know, the week, a couple days prior to the podcast recording to get some questions. And but, you know, if anybody wants to get a hold of us, you know, we'll in the outro, we have all of our contact information. Tyler, what's your Instagram handle?
My Instagram handle is Tall Blonde Monst. I actually have to look it up because
it's not spelled
it's
very
supposed
good.
To be, okay, it is. It's Tall Blonde Monsta.
Okay.
Blonde with an E on the end.
Okay, gotcha.
So Tall Blonde Monsta.
So, anybody
I believe on Twitter it's just Tall Blonde Monst.
Yeah,
no A.
You ran out of characters, so.
Exactly.
So yeah, ours is ET Tampa. Hopefully that might be a little bit easier for you guys. ETTAMPA. So like I said, you'll hear it again on the outro, but please, comments, questions, just like that on Instagram. Those were great. And we love answering it and love interacting with anybody who listens to the podcast.
Yeah, it makes us happy. And thanks a lot for listening. That shows that they either listen or were excited to give a crazy question.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. All right. I think we've rambled enough for this week's podcast. And you got anything else, buddy?
That's it, man. Let's get out of here.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.